Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
That's Arthi.
That's Noor.
And you're listening to The Reality Is.
So we just finished recording Family Karma, which was so fun.
So exciting. I think they're bringing a lot. Every frame was fun. Everything was fun to watch. And it was light. And it was pleasant. And it didn't have racial trauma.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, so I have to say, you know, a great time for our podcast to be made because so much problematic stuff happening in Housewives world. Oh, girl. Yeah.
I mean, we talked about this way back before in the first few episodes, but I do feel that there's more of it on TV now. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is because more people are talking about it and more of the characters on Bravo are bringing it up instead of just sucking it all up and just, you know, brushing it under the rug. They're actually confronting it, which I love. Mm-hmm. So we are actually getting to discuss stuff that in the past you would have bothered you and I, and we would be in like chat rooms getting mad by ourselves with no one really caring about it, or
yeah,
it's not really blowing up into a bigger deal because the characters themselves don't bring it up. And now everyone's bringing it up and confronting it. So I'm loving that part of it.
Well, I think ultimately what we're seeing on these shows is that when you do put a woman of color into a cast of white people, especially in the year 2020, where there is so much talk about racial inequality and all of this stuff, it's going to come up. And the thing is, we as women of color who exist and live in this world know that uncomfortable microaggressive things happen all the time. Mm-hmm. There's people that are saying like, oh, I wish they would just keep it light and easy, and like, why do we need to see this and blah blah blah. But like, yeah, you can keep it light and easy when it's a bunch of white people because they don't have to worry about this stuff. But this stuff is real, and this stuff keeps coming up because this stuff comes up to us in our real life all the time. This is real life for Garcelle. This is real life for Crystal or Ebony. Yeah. Like, or, and what we saw with Tiffany. You can't celebrate these women and have them be drunk and have fun if you don't have them paired with a cast that is there to celebrate them.
So I feel like they introduced Tiffany to Dallas, Crystal and Garcelle last year, and Crystal this year. And then they introduced Ebony. And the white women in all of those franchises approach that introduction with trepidation, fear, and being scared of, you know, saying the wrong thing and stepping, you know, walking on eggshells. And they just approached it with so much of
white fragility.
White fragility, yes. Instead of approaching it like, hey, that's nice. I have somebody new experience that I'm going to go through. I don't have any or enough friends of color. So I'm glad, at least at my workplace, I have somebody here to learn more from and I can have an open mind. I may make mistakes, but if I'm open about it and I'm receiving it and I say sorry and I'm genuine about it, I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
That's all they needed to do. They needed to just be welcoming and open to new ideas and some corrections of how they speak and how they come off to people of color. That's all they needed to do, but they couldn't.
No, they couldn't.
They barely handled it for a couple of episodes before they crumbled in all of the seasons.
In both shows. So let's talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills first. But before we start talking about all of the race stuff, we need to really focus on the one gift that keeps on giving.
Oh,
Her name is Kathy Hilton. And what were we doing without her?
Why wasn't she the first one cast? Why have we been watching Kyle all these years?
Why is she a friend of?
Kyle should have been the friend of and Kathy the main character. And I would have enjoyed Kathy I'm enjoying Kathy picking on Kyle and just torturing her. Torturing her.
I love it so much.
I want her to come to Kyle's house every night with a bag of chips, Red Bull, bad eyesight, and just ambling with multiple pillows and fan. And just climb into the bed with Mauricio and Kyle and just keep eating chips. And asking Kyle, where does the show come on again? Which channel?
I love her.
Does Kathy Hilton know where she is right now?
No. Does Kathy Hilton know that she's on a TV show?
I don't think so. Does she know which planet she's on?
No.
No. I want to feel like Kathy Hilton. Like, no worries of any sort.
Okay, so we just talked about what would you do if you were rich?
Mm-hmm. I would get 3 or 4 pillows, a fan, and go torture Kyle. I don't know.
I want to be so rich that I am as aloof as Kathy Hilton. Just fucking living life, being not happy.
Not a clue where she is.
Not a damn clue where she is.
She shows up to this thing with pajamas because she's going to Lake Tahoe. And then Kyle is having a conniption. She's like, the rest of the girls are going to come with their glam. They put together outfits. Kathy, how could you do this? Kathy's like, but it's Lake Tahoe. This is what I wear to Lake Tahoe. I wear pajamas.
Yes. I feel like Kathy is a gift from the Bravo gods for dealing with multiple seasons of like nothing. Like,
nothing.
They were like, oh, we're so sorry about Teddy Mellencamp. Will a Kathy Hilton do? Like,
yes. You have redeemed yourself for putting us through the torture of Teddy Mellencamp.
You know what my favorite part of Kathy was this episode? Uh-huh. When it came time to do like the activities, she was like, leave me the fuck alone. I'm not going.
Sleeping.
She said, get out of my face.
Kyle is like, you have to show up to work. And Kathy is like, no, I don't.
No,
I'm fucking rich. They can come film me sleeping. She's like, camera on me, they can. This is what I'm doing right now. I'm sleeping. By the way, Kathy is the person that truly gives zero fucks, okay?
Yes. Yes.
Erica Jane needs to learn from Kathy. This is how you give zero fucks.
Yeah. She's like, I'm Kathy fucking Hilton and they can film me sleeping if they want to. Uh-huh. I'm not going on some fucking railroad and riding bikes. It's not what I'm doing. I was up until 2 a.m. eating snacks and reading the paper. Drinking Red Bull.
The fact that she doesn't have an iPad or her phone, she has actual real papers that she's reading.
I love that she like is barely just paying attention to the drama that's going on because later after that part, after they go to that dinner and they're doing that prank and
she's Crystal, like, okay, so why did you kick Crystal?
And she goes, first she says, Sutton, why did you kick Crystal? And she goes, I didn't kick Crystal. Crystal kicked me. And then Kathy goes, wow, her legs must be so long to be able to kick you from across the room. What the fuck, Kathy? Kathy, where are you?
And Sutton is like, no, she kicked me in the car, in the van. What are you doing? Not the dining table.
I love her. She puts the nose drops in her eyes. Nasal drops in her eyes. You think it was notice?
Yeah. Did you notice how she was sitting at the very end of the table and then Kyle was sitting in the further up the table and she was like, I need to get Kathy closer to me because I won't be able to manage and do any damage control if Kathy's all the way there. I don't know what she's doing, what she's saying. I need Kyle. is so hyper. Kyle is the kind of person who worries so much about her appearance.
Yes.
So much that people need to like her. People need to love her. People. She cannot be the villain. She's so, so, so conscious of how she people perceive her. And Kathy's the exact opposite. So Kyle yes. is like trying to play defense and make sure yeah. that she's like, I need to be around Kathy and make sure she doesn't do anything that's going to damage the stuff that I have carefully built over the years.
Yeah.
And I hope Kathy is a liability and I need to watch her because Bravo might say no to Kathy next year because of something. And then I don't have a storyline.
I truly don't understand why Kathy Hilton is not a full-time cast member.
Yeah, we need her. Why? We need her. I don't yeah. know. I laughed every time she was on the screen. I laughed my ass off. She is going to fast become the most beloved Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Like, she's the one person that everybody is bonding over. Like, there's yeah. not a single person that's like, I don't get it. They're like, yeah. no, she's great. She's wonderful. Okay, so unfortunately, now we do have to talk about the race stuff on this fucking show. Okay, so we opened up the episode with Crystal and Sutton finishing up this conversation. Now, Arthi, you were not on the last episode to talk about this. Go ahead. Feel free to express your feelings about Sutton.
I think you guys did a good job. I know yeah. You guys talked about the fact that Sutton could have just shut up. Sutton was, when she says, but you and Garcelle made up now. I'm glad you made up. And that should have been the full stop for Sutton. She shouldn't have said another word after that. Because when Kyle explained to Crystal what happened, and then Crystal comes back and say, yeah, I get it. You know, as a person of color, I can see how that happened. It has happened to me. And she's explaining. And Sutton just interrupts her, just completely yep. interrupts her.
Yep.
And said, we're not going to talk about that. We're not going to say that. I'm like, and Crystal's like, say what? I'm not even talking to you. I'm talking about my experience, what I feel. I am not talking about what you feel. And she's like, do mm-mm. you not think that I have rednecks and I'm thought of as racist, blah, 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 and all that? And it's like, it is not about you, Sutton. That's the part where she is not quite getting it, is that conversation was from the perspective of a person of color.
Yep.
And then Crystal says, are you the girl that doesn't see color? Sutton gets all upset. She thinks Crystal is calling her a racist and blah, blah, blah. Sutton really says she doesn't approach it with race and she doesn't see color, right? Basically, that's what she's saying at the end of the day. And it's so hard. And so many people think that way, like Sutton, that if they don't see color, it means that they don't discriminate. But what it means really when you don't see color is that you assume the person of color has the same life experiences and has the same opportunities and the same privilege as you do.
Yeah.
You not seeing color means you're not seeing their struggle, which is which is real, and they do have a struggle. You not seeing color means that you don't see other white people discriminate because you don't see that as racial discrimination because you don't see color. So essentially what you're seeing is, when you say you don't see color, is that you're not acknowledging the pain of the other person.
Yeah, you're erasing their history. The thing with saying that you don't see color is you are just adding to the white supremacist narrative that has existed in this country, which is that black people are just lazy. There's been no discrimination against them. Everybody's been equal because slavery was done long time ago. And that's that. And so when you say that you don't see color, you're erasing history. You're erasing black history, which is actively erased every single day. There is an active erasure of the black experience in this country and the immigrant experience in this country and the Asian experience in this country. And when you say you don't see color, when you just say everybody's the same to me, you're shutting off an entire part of their life. Mm-hmm. And you're assuming exactly what you said, that their experience is exactly the same as a white person.
Yeah. And you should treat everybody everybody the same. Yes. You should also understand that everybody is not standing on the same level in front of you. They're all standing on different struggles, and they're all at different levels, and they're all coming with different baggages, and you have to be considerate of that.
Yes. And in context of Garcelle's conversation with Kyle, in this context, let's say that Sutton is sitting in Kyle's seat, and Garcelle explains to Sutton, hey, that thing that you said, it affects Black women in a different way because of the stereotyping around Black women. Mm-hmm. And if Sutton was to respond to that and say, well, I don't know why this is a race issue, I don't see color, that's then telling Garcelle that, hey, that very polite thing you just did where you explained to me the struggle of being a Black woman, I'm telling you it's really not even that important because I don't even see color. I didn't think of that. Like, that's what she's doing in this situation, and that is so dangerous. So we have this exchange. Crystal and Sutton just kind of like put it aside. We learn from Sutton that she just feels really sensitive to it because she's from the South, and she's often people just assume that she's racist. And now Sutton is feeling insecure about people thinking that she's racist and therefore behaves in a way that racists behave.
So essentially, Sutton is anti-racism but not anti-racist, and therefore she is enabling them. So it's in the end, it's the same thing. You end up being the racist because you're not speaking up against racist.
So when you're not anti-racist, the math means that you might be racist. Essentially, that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
So then they go to this dinner and they put all this aside. There's this stupid prank with the martinis and the drinking. And Sutton feels totally left out of the joke, and it gets super uncomfortable. She has a whole meltdown about it. I was like, what the hell am I watching? She turned into Teddy crying at the table last season.
Exactly.
When Sutton was like, I thought you weren't going to be fun.
Yeah. Same thing here. Sutton, we thought you were going to be fun. What happened? Let the mouse go. She talked to Crystal and then she started crying the previous night. The next morning, she's still worked up about it. Then she goes to this dinner thing afterwards, and she is still kind of feeling like an outsider. For some reason, she's still in her feelings about it. And it was the dumbest thing. And then she thinks that they're all texting each other about Sutton and what she said to Crystal.
Yeah.
Crystal has already moved on and nobody's talking about it.
And even before that point, when Sutton's trying to explain her point of view to Erica, and she says, Erica, you're from the South. Like, don't you feel uncomfortable when people think that people from the South are racist? And Erica's like, no, I don't. And the reasoning for this is Dorit starts to say, maybe Erica feels that way because, you know, Erica is so worldly. And then Dorit in that way also compliments herself by saying that she is a child of the world. And I was like, lady, you and fucking Luann De Lesseps, I swear to God, both of you probably think you're so educated because you're children of the world. Anyway, so that's where
Lake Tahoe was Switzerland. So
Jesus Christ, exactly. Mm-hmm. So between those conversations, Sutton then starts to feel extra defensive, and she starts to get really worked up and really emotional. And that's when Crystal's kind of like, you're being weird. Like, we're just trying to have a normal conversation and you're making this worse than it is. Like, nobody is saying anything to you. In all of this, Crystal says something which I think is so perfect, and it's the best way to also explain white fragility. It's the best way to explain what happens to Luann. This should be, you know, the motto for every Karen, which is that if it's not about her or she's not included, then she feels like she is somehow the victim of something.
Correct.
That is what Crystal says about Sutton, and that is truly what is happening when we talk about white fragility. Yeah. And for white fragility, obviously, in terms of race, means it's that discomfort or defensiveness that white people feel when they have to confront information about racial inequality or injustice, because it has to do with white people having to accept that they have privilege, and that is too uncomfortable for them. And so that does apply to the situation with Luann, but it's almost like if a Black person says, I'm a victim of racial inequality, white people feel, oh, it's not about me anymore, so I've been excluded. And now I'm the victim because it's like an ego trip that happens. And that's what we're seeing with Sutton. That's what we're seeing with Luann. It's this inability to accept that you are not a part of something, whether it be good or bad. Mm-hmm. The inability to accept that the world doesn't revolve around you. And that is rooted in white supremacy.
That the world is not what it looks like through your glasses, through your viewpoint.
Yes, exactly. Oh, that was so good. Yes, yeah. Exactly. The inability to accept that the world doesn't look the same for everybody as it does for you.
Mm-hmm. It's a different reality. And they're like, no, that's not real. My view is real. Yours is artificial. It's a video game. It's not real. It's a matrix. Mine is the real thing.
Exactly. And no matter what the person of color says to you in that moment to explain to you their personal reality, you are so busy living in your own white supremacist world that you are dig your heels in and you're going to argue with it. And honestly, in this situation, all Sutton needed to do, all Luann needed to do was shut the fuck up and listen.
Exactly. That's all they had to do. They couldn't bring themselves to listen. Sutton interrupted Crystal over and over again. She interrupted everybody trying to tell her what they were working on. She would not believe them. She was like sitting around and say, everybody who was in on the joke except for me, nobody, everybody else. And Kyle says, I wasn't in on the joke. And then the others are saying, we weren't in on the joke. We just figured it out.
Yeah.
And then we didn't even know that there was the other side of the table was pranking this side of the table. We just figured out one part of it. We didn't know the other part of it.
Yeah.
They're like, we were all not in on it except for the three or four people that were playing this game. And we were not fully into it either. And it had nothing to do with you, Sutton. You just happened to miss the whole thing.
Yes. And the minute that they say Crystal figured it out and the rest of us just wanted to be in on the joke, you can see Sutton getting more and more worked up.
Yeah.
She starts to get more and more emotional as she realizes that everybody figured it out except for her.
Yeah.
Because truly in
that
moment.
It's
her ego and insecurity.
Yeah. It had nothing to do with anything with Crystal. It had nothing to do with their previous conversation. It had nothing to do with it. Nobody was trying to exclude her. She was having a private experience.
She was. That is textbook private experience.
Private experience, yeah.
I will say I don't love – I saw the preview for next episode with Crystal being kind of mean to Sutton.
But also, this is the second time.
Yes.
So Crystal goes back to her room and she's talking to somebody in their room and telling them about how awkward it has been with Sutton and all the stuff she's going through and all that. And then Sutton decides to bring her coat or something back to her room.
Yeah.
And apparently Crystal walks in, Sutton walks in on Crystal half naked or something, just shows up there. We don't know what conversation they have because this is the second time Bravo is letting that conversation be the cliffhanger for next week. So we don't even know what the whole conversation is like.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're trying to use cliffhangers to get people to come back next week.
I don't know why you keep doing this, Bravo. We're going to come back.
Yeah, they'll come back. And, you know, it doesn't have to be so she went into her room. So show us what happened there. How does it matter? Why do you have to stop at that point and then bring us back next week for something that may or may not be that big of a deal in the end? We don't know.
I think if we didn't have Kathy Hilton, this season of Beverly Hills might have been too heavy.
Exactly. I think Kathy being there is making it, it's giving us the relief between the fights. Because if Kathy wasn't there and it was Rinna constantly apologizing to Garcelle constantly trying to teach everybody about race relations, and then Crystal and Sutton going off at each other, it may not be interesting in itself.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Rinna and Garcelle, you saw the clips from Dorit and Rinna saying basically that Garcelle is the problem. Mm-hmm. They're doing to Garcelle what they did to Denise.
Yeah.
There's some video of Rinna on the internet that was, she was trying to, first of all, she was talking in AAV and it was like too on the nose. I was like, okay, I don't know what this new accent is that you're doing. Mm-hmm. But she was all like, I don't know, girlfriend. Like, I don't know. She was just doing a lot of really weird shit. But she kept saying that Garcelle wasn't being real to her and Garcelle was bullshitting her. And it was like, we all watched the same show and Garcelle told you to your face that she did not like you and she did not trust you.
And what she
did
said, you want? I'm not I'm gonna come for. Yeah, I'm not gonna come for you. Can you promise not to come for me and not do this kind of shit to me? And Renau couldn't promise her.
She's and like, now no. Look. And now that's what she's doing.
Yeah.
But then Dorit also is on that bandwagon. Mm. And I'm like, Dorit, you haven't done enough for you to even be picking a side. So
yeah,
cut the shit. Okay.
Yeah. Just look cute. Do some fashion show. This can be your off year, Dorit, where you just stay cute and show us a lot of Jagger and not Jagger.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Real Housewives of New York.
Okay.
All right, the ladies go to Lou's house to paint nudes, all while Ramona pretends to be a prude. Okay, I just wrote that, and I just realized that that was a rhyme.
Yeah.
I sound like Andy Cohen. Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. I didn't mean to do that.
You sound like Luann saying food and nude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Leah cries a lot, and Garth makes wet lamb slop. And then Lou shows her ass. Now, before we get into obviously the most problematic part of the show, the exchange with Lou and Ebony, I think that we need to talk about this white man's curry.
Okay. Do we have to? It's not curry. It's not curry. It's a kind of stew of some sort, like a Viking stew with some yellow spice that he found, something with turmeric in it, but it was like a store brand, maybe even a McCormick curry powder. You know, McCormick is selling that. And it is like, it's basically a lot of turmeric with very little spice. And it's like, it's a curry powder. And I'm like, what is that? Okay, so I got one little cup. Yeah, it is gross. It is so gross. And it's not curry at all.
No.
It just gives the yellow color and people think it's curry. And that's what it is.
So first of all, guys, listen to me loud and clear. We need to not call that shit curry anymore, okay? Mm-hmm. First of all, Luann needs to shut the fuck up for so many other reasons.
But you're not in Morocco, Luann.
Yeah, this is Sag Harbor. This is a Morocco, bitch. Yeah. And then secondly, she's been talking of this curry for days. And I know that I'm getting really worked up over it, but I'm very, very protective of South Asian foods. And I'm not a vegetarian. And our meat stews are some of the most delicious foods in the world. So I really need everybody to listen up, okay? When a white man serves you curry, serves you something that's called lamb curry. It's got delicata squash in it. And they serve it to you in a flat plate with no rice, no roti, no naan. You better run, okay?
Yeah. No, you will get the runs the next day. That's what you'll get. Because you don't eat curry without some carb to hold it in.
Okay. How dare you give that to Ramona? She has IBS. How dare you?
I know.
So you got to be sensitive to that geriatric bitch's stomach. Like, yeah, come she's on.
She fixed the outside. The inside is still rotting away. Exactly. Inside is 60 plus. So the inside is, it's aging.
Oh, God. The worst part about it was like wet. Like it didn't look like they didn't reduce the sauce. It was just so upsetting.
Watery. It was like watery.
Oh, it was so gross. I hated it so much.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think is going on with Leah?
Also, by the way, Garth is not an Adonis.
No. Like, okay. Do you think he cut his own hair? He must be cutting his own hair. Maybe he has a full bowl cut.
Maybe people cannot reach up there so much.
He has a full bowl cut.
Luann said he doesn't drink. So I feel like Luann is hanging out with him because he can cook. He can take care of her. He seems to do everything for her. And he doesn't drink. So she doesn't feel any pressure to drink. And she can have a hot guy or who Ramona thinks hot on her arm when she goes to functions. I don't think she's even interested in this dude. She's just like hanging on to him because that makes Ramona and all the other old hags in Sag Harbor all jealous. And, look at that guy that Luann is with.
Okay, another thing about Luann that somebody pointed out on the internet is that Luann keeps having this alcohol-free wine. By the way, I've had that wine. It tastes disgusting. Okay, wine is gross. Unless you're drinking wine to, like, really get a buzz, there's no point in drinking wine.
I think we just lost half our audience.
No, I'm just saying, like, I've had the alcohol-free wine.
That wine, okay. I thought
the one that she's talking about.
Wine is gross. I was like,
No. I'm just saying, okay, listen. If you're drinking wine and it doesn't have an alcohol side effect or taste to it, Mm-hmm. It's not good.
Yeah, it's just juice.
It's just sparkling juice.
Sparkling.
It's just carbonated juice. It's like a spritzer. It's really nothing. It's not good. I've had it before. It's really dumb. It's just sugar. And the thing with alcohol is like some of the bitterness of the alcohol does cut through the sweetness of a wine.
Yeah. So there's like it complements food. The food
and
you
it complements
eat.
Food. Now what Luann is drinking, it's called Frey or Free, and it's not good. But somebody on the internet pointed out that there might be a reason why Luann keeps drinking alcohol-free wine is because at some point when the women are all drinking, nobody's going to be able to tell what she's actually drinking.
Ooh. So she eventually just changes it up, switches it up.
Allegedly, I'm just going to put that out there.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe I shouldn't put it out there. It's already bad enough that she's
already
a racist.
Put it out there.
I already put it there. She's already a racist, guys. So, like, what worse could it be that she's faking being a sober? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about what's going on with Leah. What do you think is going on with Leah?
Oh, Leah is just, again, Leah is immature. She has never gone through this kind of situation. I understand that she couldn't see her grandmother and that she couldn't. So that was emotional for her. And because of COVID, she couldn't go and she was shooting this show and she couldn't go. And she's all kinds of emotional in that situation. That I do understand. But her responding to Ramona all the time, she knows she's making Ramona uncomfortable. I do think Leah does this a little bit too much with Ramona just to get a rise out of Ramona. Mm-hmm. And I think Leah is tired of Ramona comparing her to Avery. Yeah. Somehow Ramona keeps talking about her and Avery in the same breath. And she's like, I am not your daughter. Stop talking about your daughter and me. And we are not the same age. But Leah is responding to Ramona.
Yes.
Like she's Ramona as a mother. She is riling up Ramona as just like she riles up her mother. Yes. She has interactions with Ramona. I mean, she was in Ramona's house getting mad at Ramona for giving attention to Ebony and not her. Just like you would to your mother if your mother was giving attention to one sibling and not you.
Yep.
She called Ramona a bitch. She called her all kinds of names. Walked out of that room, went to Ramona's fridge, opened it up and started rummaging around. I'm like, you are in her house. She's the hostess.
Yeah.
You are stomping through her house like you belong there. You calling her names. If she chooses not to talk to you and talk to another guest, that's her prerogative. But you are acting out as what is causing, what is making Ramona think of you as her daughter.
Yes, exactly. We need to remember that Leah's grandmother is dying, but so is Ebony's.
It's Ebony's, yeah.
And apparently we're giving lots of grace to Leah and none to Ebony.
None to Ebony.
It's wild when Sonia is somehow the voice of reason. This woman was yelling at people about using Wells Fargo two episodes ago.
Yeah, so,
one episode ago.
Yeah, so the Wells Fargo thing is Sonia just does not want the money to stop to her daughter because she's like, she has nothing to give her daughter. She's like, she better get her that money from her father. Something about JP Morgan triggers her still. But other than that trigger, nothing else seems to trigger her. Nothing else.
That's true.
That's true. Morgan letters, if people touch Morgan letters or bank with Wells Fargo, that's a trigger for her. Through the years, nothing else is a trigger for Sonia.
Yes.
Everything else, she just dusts off and moves on with it. She doesn't really bother with it. But Sonia was the voice of reason. She gave more grace to Ebony than anybody else did. Even Leah. Yes. Leah is so in her own feelings that she's not a good friend to Ebony.
No,
she's not there for Ebony. Ramona says, oh, Leah's grandmother is dying, so we should be. You know, she's yelling, but her grandmother is dying. So she's just emotional. Well, when Ebony talks up, how come she is not given the same thing? She's not saying, oh, your grandmother is dying too. So maybe that's why you're emotional. Mm-mm.
Because she's black, guys. It's because she's black. All right. So I went and I took the time to pause every 3 seconds and I wrote down the entire exchange with Lou and
that
Ebony.
That was,
okay.
First of all, do you want to say that what they were saying to each other, what they really meant, and they were actually on the same page when they first started the argument?
Essentially, the argument was that Ramona didn't like the P's and the C's and the D's.
She didn't like the alphabet soup. Yes.
Okay, but like also they were literally just drawing the grossest guy ever.
And Ramona basically just drew his penis over and over and over
again. Over and over again. That's all she wanted to do. And then she was like, she was like writhing on the Chase Lounge to the man who was playing the guitar so poorly.
He was a dollar store Keith Richards.
He was.
She's like, I don't know the song. And she didn't know if it was a song that she was supposed to know. So she's asking Leah, she's like, is this a famous song that somebody wrote? Or is this, do you think it's his own song? And Leah's like, I think it's his own song. And Ramona's like, oh, good, because I didn't recognize it, but I didn't want to say it. So she's like, and then she's writhing there in her odd Ramona writhing.
She looks like she's it. She's like,
I feel touched. I feel touched.
Did Lisa Barlow walk in?
Who touched you?
Lisa Barlow. You know, it's like if you could see, like if, okay, so this is, I'm dating myself, but back in the day when I had a Nokia phone, there was only one game on it. It was called Snake.
Yes.
And it, right? And so it was like, it was a snake, but it was pixels and it would just move around the screen and you had to get... So Ramona rides around like a pixelated snake. That's the best way to put it.
That is so true. Oh my God. That's like the best description of
So the interesting thing about Ramona that I realized, and I picked up on this when she was at the dinner and she was talking about, I don't like the WAPs and the WAPs. Let me do a WP. So it seemed to me like, you know, because we know Ramona is a Trumper. She's conservative. Mm-hmm. Ramona clearly has been just like, she's been on Parler or whatever the fuck she gets her social media. And she is just reading these dumbass posts of people being like, nothing is safe anymore and everything is so sexual and blah, 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 blah. And so Ramona wants to be that person. She wants to be that, I'm so conservative and I walked off the stage because Alex McCord took a topless photo. Like, she wants to still be that person, but that's very much not who Ramona is. Like, it Ramona.
Is. She is like a contradiction, a walking, talking contradiction. A writhing contradiction because she's like, she wants to wear and look sexy and she wants to show off her body and she wants to do all of that thing and feel attractive and talk about dating and all of that. But at the same time, she also wants to come off as conservative and, you know, that's not going to be, it's not, you cannot have both of those. You cannot have like, the cake and eat it too.
Like, you can't be literally eating Harry Dubin's face on page six and then also act like you are this, like, prim and proper, like, I'm a nice Catholic girl and I had my husband and blah. Like, no, shut the fuck up. So, but the argument is that Ramona doesn't like when people talk about sex in a lewd way. She doesn't mind talking about sex. She doesn't want anybody talking about eating ass. Okay, fine. So Ebony says, that's okay. I understand. I'm not going to use those words because they make you uncomfortable. That's fine. That's totally
out of respect for Ramona.
Out of respect for you. But because the ladies keep talking about class and etiquette and ladylike and blah, 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 Ebony says, I don't subscribe to the fact that using those words makes you unclassy or unladylike. And Ramona says, she like freaks out. She's like, I never said that. I said it makes me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And Ebony says, I could swear Lou just said something about being raised through the church. And Lou says, yeah, but it has nothing to do with class. It has to do with education.
And what Lou is trying to say is that Catholic education, where you are told in Catholic schools, but what Ebony is trying to, when she says just education, so Ebony says, well, education has nothing to do with this. I am the most educated at this table. We can all agree on that. But education does not equate to class, or education does not say, just because I say any of these words means that I'm not educated. Education has nothing to do with it. It does not take away from my degrees to say the P word, the C word, the D word. So she is like, doesn't matter whether you're educated or it shouldn't matter. If that is how she expresses herself, it doesn't matter. But Lou, before she can finish, we can just the fact that Ebony said that I am the most educated around this table sets Luann off.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Luann doesn't even let her finish her sentence.
So, right. So she says that I'm the most educated. Lou goes, oh, really? And then Ramona is like, have you Googled us? How do you know that? And Ebony's like, yeah, I
Google alert. She's like, oh, so you know Google? You have figured out Google?
And then Ebony's like, yeah, I have. I Google everybody. And Ramona is very happy about it. She's like, oh, that's great.
Oh, she's like, I got Google alerts too. Amy just told me how to get there.
But then in that moment, Lou is so in her feelings. Lou says, yeah. So you're saying your degree makes you more educated. And Ebony goes, yeah, Luann, technically a degree makes you more educated. That is what a degree is. And then Luann says, well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard anybody say. Then Leah comes in at that moment because she remembers she's still mad. She's not done having her tantrum. Leah comes in and makes it all about herself. And she's yelling at Ramona. Ramona's yelling at her. Everybody's yelling at each other. But they pan to Ebony in that moment. And Ebony's just kind of got her head down and she's cracking her knuckles because you can tell that this woman is now pissed because she's trying to talk about education. Black people have not been given the opportunity to be as educated as white people in America for hundreds of years until recently. And now they are in some instances far more educated than the common white person. The common white person is telling them, well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard anybody say, that your education makes you smarter than me. And that is, that's like, essentially, you can tell she's upset because Lou has just shat on her accomplishments.
Yes.
Then Leah goes away. They're all like, oh, she's so sensitive. It's fine, whatever. And then Heather chimes in. I don't know what the fuck happened to Heather. She's all quiet there now, quiet as a mouse, not saying a word. She says,
she's like gathering, taking down notes for her podcast. She's like,
ooh. She might be.
She's like, oh, finally, something I can talk about tomorrow.
That's possible. So she says, we just need to listen to each other. Luann, clearly not listening, says, I was very clear for an uneducated person. Yeah. And then Ebony's like, I didn't say you were uneducated. And Luann says, you said you're the smartest one here. It's like, well, again, you're not listening. And that's when Ebony's like, maybe you should clean your ears out because that's not what I said. Yeah. And then Lou says, being educated means being well-traveled, speaking languages, you know, being a child of the world, like Dorit.
Yeah. I mean, Luann, you traveled and you got all that from your husband. You married your husband and before that you were doing something in Italy. You were just hopping around and doing all of that. Not that there isn't an education that comes from world travel and being worldly. Yes, that's a kind of education, but there's education and education. There's learning and then there is educational degrees and what you learn and specialize on. And it's two different things and you are equating one to the other. And you're assuming that the accomplished, educated, degree, multi-degree holding black person just shat on you and said that you weren't educated and therefore you were not smart.
Well, it's crazy because Luann is making the accusation at Ebony that Ebony called her dumb when actually Luann called Ebony stupid. She's the one that said that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard when Ebony talked about her own degrees. So nobody said you're stupid, Luann. You said Ebony is stupid. And then she goes like,
and she's smiling and laughing as Ebony gets more and more angry. Luann is giggling and laughing.
She's eating up the fact that she has made this woman upset. She's eating it up. She's serving. It's like it's being served to her on a platter. And I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. That's racist as fuck. Like Luann looks like a fucking racist when she's doing that. And it made me really upset. And then she goes, girlfriend, you got it all wrong. You're miseducated. She says it that way.
Yeah. Yep.
And
all
of the white women, including fucking Heather, laugh.
Yeah.
And they cut to Ebony and she is so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then she tries to explain herself again. And they're all like, why are you screaming? Why are you screaming? Why are you so angry? Wow, you're an angry woman. You're an angry woman. And that's when Ebony says, your white fragility is killing.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what this is. The immediate response when a black woman says, I'm educated, the immediate response to that being, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And then saying, oh, you called me uneducated when you just called her stupid is like a rich text in microaggressive white privilege, white fragility, racism.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how
Ebony still tries to sit there and explain white fragility to these dumbasses who don't understand it.
No.
And then Luann has the audacity to kick Ebony out of the house.
It's insane.
That was so upsetting to me. And I can understand why Ebony decided to take the social, take a couple of weeks off with this episode and maybe the next one, because she's like, I cannot deal with the trolls that were going to come out, the Luann trolls, Luann fans who are going to show up. I don't have to deal with it. That's what she decided. She's like, I don't have to deal with this crap.
And you know,
I can
really,
take a mental break.
And you know what's really incredible in all of it is that she's like, she said in that video on her Instagram live, she says, I don't want you guys to pick a side right now. Mm-hmm. I want you to just watch and listen and pay attention to what's happening and just learn. Like, that's the point of this. Is like, if, and it's so incredible for somebody to still have the wherewithal to push that, like to say that to the viewers, to say like, don't root for me. I'm not looking for you to be Team Ebony. I just want you to learn from this.
You have to remember when this was being shot too. This was right during the, right after George Floyd.
Yeah, this is like only October.
Yeah, all the issues that everybody was going through, and her grandmother was ill, and she still showed up and was willing to sit there and take all of this abuse and try and teach these women something.
Something, anything.
Anything.
And they didn't learn.
And they didn't learn.
It's going to be tough because, yeah, she does go back and she tells Leah what happened. And I mean, yeah, Luann didn't have to say black, but she called her an angry black woman.
Luann does say, at one point, Luann says, I'm saying this, I'm telling you you're angry, and it has nothing to do with your race. So Luann, as she's saying it, realizes that she knows that she's taking on the angry black woman trope. She's going to use it. So she tries to deflect it by saying, it has nothing to do with your race, so don't even bring. She says that. Did you notice that? She quickly slips that in. So Luann, you are aware of what this is going to come off as. You are aware of what you're doing and you're still doing it.
And by the way, it's been radio silence on Luann Delsa. She's not said a damn fucking word.
Yep.
I mean, but also, like, are we shocked? This is a woman that did blackface.
Yeah.
This is a woman that went into a room full of black people who had been incarcerated and said, I know what it's like to be like you, to have shackles on me. Why? Because you had an ankle bracelet and you spent a night in prison for beating the shit out of for trying to beat up a cop.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
So also, Eugene, our friend Eugene, posted on his Instagram story, Luann touches Ebony's hair.
I saw that.
She touches Ebony's hair.
Yeah.
White ladies, man.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with them?
I don't know. I was so impressed by how poised and pulled together Ebony was and was able to articulate and argue back and forth with these women. I would have been in a puddle of tears because I would have been so mad. When I get mad, I start crying. So I would have been like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And that would have been me. It would have been like Leah saying, you're a hoe, you're a hoe, you're a hoe. I'd be like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're a racist, you're a racist, you're a racist. That would have been me. But the fact that she was calm and composed just tells you how much of the shit she has gone through prior. Yeah. So she knew what to say and how to react. And that just makes it worse.
Yeah, and I want people to remember that we're looking at Real Housewives of New York now. This isn't Dallas.
Nope.
You know, this is New York. And we're not talking about Ramona even. Like, yeah, Ramona piles on into, why are you being so angry? My ears are hurting, blah, blah, blah. She really adds on to it by being a bitch.
Yeah.
But this is Luann Delicep, who has apparently donated more money to the Clintons than even Carol Radzivill.
Yeah.
She is a Democrat. She is a longtime Democrat. She's always voted blue.
Yeah.
This is the woman that is acting this way. So the reason why it's important for us to note that is that racism exists even in liberal circles.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a type of racism that exists in liberal circles. This is the kind of shit that we women of color, but especially black women, have to deal with.
Yeah.
At work, in social circles, it's really, really uncomfortable.
At work, as a model minority, I can be mad. And people will say I'm mad and they'll give me some grace. But if my black colleague, who's also equally and rightfully mad, speaks up, then she's being rude, aggressive. She's being angry. She's being dog with a bone and will not give up. She's not listening to us. She doesn't communicate well. These are the things that they will write down in her HR report.
The part of it that also made me really upset is I know Sonia's trying to speak up and Sonia's trying to get them to shut up. But Heather really is not doing a damn thing.
Yeah. I was disappointed in Heather. I thought Heather, if Leah was not there, and you know, Leah would have been like, how dare you say that? Leah is maybe full woke, but she will see that opportunity and jump on Luann's throat.
Yeah.
Heather didn't say much. Yeah. Heather did not. And that was disappointing to me on Heather's part. So today, I mean, this week, both Dorit and Heather have disappointed us.
Yes. Can you believe
that? Two of our, you know, not favorites, not my favorite, but they were likable and I like them and they have both been disappointing.
Yeah. And I wouldn't have even called them problematic.
Sonia was actually nice. She said she's not yelling. She's just using her words. She's like,
yes,
good words, big words, bigly words.
Bigly words that Luann just can't figure out because, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Well, apparently next week is going to be even tougher to watch. So, can't wait for that.
Yeah.
I hope you guys enjoyed two episodes from us this weekend. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to figure that out. We're also in the process of setting up a Patreon. So, if you think that you would like us to have a Patreon, send us a DM and let us know what you think. Mm-hmm. And also rate and review us 5 stars. And next week, we're going to have Taria on from What Else Is Going On to talk about Married to Medicine and Shaws of Sunset to change things up.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah. She's gonna laugh. She's gonna make us laugh so much.
Yes.
We go a little bonkers with Taria.
We do. Okay, guys, we'll talk to you whenever we talk to you. Bye.
Bye.